All work and no play negatively affects Hong Kong youth. Dear Editor, in regards to a study about parents' expectations for their children, specifically that they prefer children to do well academically but do not care about their behavior, I have several comments and questions for our parents and teachers raising and taking care of our children. The article states that an astonishing 80% of children claim that their parents only care that they get good grades in school and barely care about their behavior. Three times as many children say that their parents are proud of them because they do well in the classroom rather than they are being good in their community. To me, this shows the immense pressure both parents and their children are under. After all, most new parents dream of raising children that are well-rounded. They want their kids to be smart, kind, happy, and a good person. It's only after kids enter the rat race at school and are faced with classroom competition that the parents start caring about making sure their child is the best, or at least not coming in last. In Hong Kong, competition is something children become familiar with at a very young age. Children as young as 2 or 3 must attend an interview for a place in kindergarten. The children have no choice but to go to the interviews, even though they do not fully understand why they must go or why it is important to their future. These interviews are just the tip of the iceberg. Parents can enroll students in tutorial classes, starting from kindergarten, which shows children from a very young age are taught that if they want to do well in school, and more importantly, do better than their classmates, they must put studying before having fun. Kindergarten exercise books can be found in every bookstore here, so the studying can continue outside school. To make sure children are studying constantly, many parents will enroll their kids in different interest classes after school and at weekends, for example, English classes, music lessons, and sports training. These classes, of course, are good for students to boost their self-esteem and meet other children. But does it really help when they go straight from school to another class with no time to relax? Students are also influenced by what they see in the media. Youth talent competitions, whether singing, cooking, or doing sport, are what children will see, and it will reinforce that competing is their number one priority. These sorts of competition are not just seen on TV, though. Many schools encourage and arrange competitions for students so they can see just where they land in the talent lineup. Now that we have covered how students are pushed to compete from day one, I have several concerns and questions for the parents, and indeed for the society, that say this is not just okay, but necessary for our children. I do believe that competition is a natural part of life, and kids who do not put in extra effort at times will certainly find themselves left behind. However, we need to remember that children are still children. If they do not do well at school, they may fall under the influence of negative feelings. Are parents talking to them about healthy ways to deal with these feelings? Losing is never a good feeling, but it is important to still act graciously to the winner and realize that losing can be turned into a growing experience. Parents must do their part to teach kids how to deal with a less than ideal grade or result with a sense of humor and goals on what to do differently next time. Talking out feelings can help kids effectively deal with negative emotions before they get too big to handle. This is the parents' responsibility, and teachers must also be prepared to talk to students about emotional maturity. Another concern is that adults praise the children for trying, rather than just a good grade. If children receive positive feedback for trying, or for cleaning up their room without being asked, they will realize that it's not just the grades that matter. Children must also be aware of others around them. They may be aware that their emotions are directly tied to another. For example, if they are jealous of another classmate who won the competition. Again, this is a negative emotion. Where are the positive ones? It is rare these days to see a child be happy for the winner, or even more rarely, comfort and help another child who is falling behind. School programs rarely address empathy or get children to imagine how it feels to be another child. This is all tied to emotional maturity. Being able to empathize and sympathize with others helps us expand our understanding of others and how situations can make people react very differently. This may seem like it is difficult to teach, but just teaching simple breathing exercises and talking about how children feel are simple ways to open the door to open communication. This will help them handle failure without lashing out. On a much bigger scale, being able to know their own emotions and how to handle them will help them grow into a well-rounded person. Undoubtedly, our society needs high achievers who will go the distance to achieve their goals. This is how society moves forward. But society also benefits from people who think of others, and who know how to achieve their goals without sacrificing their mental health. People skills and interpersonal skills are an often overlooked ability. People react better to others who are warm and welcoming, and who can relate to others. Making people feel at ease in this increasingly busy world is a more valuable skill than ever. Combined with an ability to get things done, these well-rounded people are destined to go further in life than those who are academically very bright but lack the skills to relate and empathize with others. Concerned educator, Sai Kung.